Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, welcome to Beer Army Engaged, the first episode of 2015. I am Mick Dagger.
And the General.
You just couldn't wait to say that, could you?
Not for 2015, with all that enthusiasm.
It's the first one of the year.
First one of the year. You had to.
We snuck the last episode in just under the wire for 2014.
Can you believe, well, including episode zero, which was the preliminary, we did 18 episodes.
I know.
It doesn't seem like 18. We've been having too much fun, I think.
It's awesome. It's just a fun program, man. And when something is good, it's amazing how time flies. That's for sure.
Definitely, as well as the extra levels we added on the Patreon just in the last week. We picked up three new members. What I'm calling SS, as Mick Dagger cringes over there. Super Soldier members. Marisol Schultz, Crystal Bennett, and Callie Donahue. Thank you, ladies, for pledging your support and becoming members of the Super Soldier of the Beer Army.
Absolutely, man. And Patreon's a great resource, and it's nice to see it catching on. I hope it continues.
Yeah, I was lambasted by a few because I told you that I was going to start doing Facebook, and I guess I didn't realize how many people consume our show or consume their electronic lives on mobile, tablet devices, and especially phones. Mm-hmm. And so something that looks like, oh, this is a couple sentences, looks like this huge long monologue on your phone. And I'm going to give a shout out, hopefully, to future Super Soldier member Marcus Johnson, who berated me and he gave me a little guidance. And so I'm going to be inviting people to become members, but
on a more concise level.
Yes, more concise. That's a key word. Concise.
Yeah, it's amazing on a phone how something can turn into seeming like a dissertation.
Well, they were like, it looked too long. I didn't even bother reading it. I'm like, shit, man. It's like, you know,
that's people's attention spans.
I word crafted that thing, man. You know, it's like,
those are people's attention spans anymore. It's one of those things where you have to keep it short and sweet. You might as well use a bunch of hashtags and
abbreviations.
Shorthand. Yeah.
And of course, we added all those new levels. And very excited to see those new levels. Of course, the swag and stuff like that.
It's awesome.
And for our existing members that were in 2014, they're going to be getting their new set of swag, depending on what level they are, to include stickers and magnets and everything else with the new Beer Army Super Soldier logo for 2015. So we're pretty excited about that. And just a reminder that this week, this Thursday, 2100, that's 9 p.m. for all the civilian types, we'll have our Google Hangout for those members, for those Super Soldiers that pledged at those levels.
That's awesome.
I can't remember what level it was, but
I've been looking forward. I'm missing the hangout. I'm looking forward to that. That's always a good time to just essentially just be real and chat with people. And I talk every week.
Yeah. Well, it gives people the opportunity to engage us. And, you know, and we could talk about the shows. We could talk about anything. I mean, we're prepared to talk about everything and anything. That's where you as a Super Soldier member can say, okay, why did you guys say this? Or you can call us out. You know, if you think we're jackasses, you could say that. Or if you don't like us, that's your time, I guess, to shit on us, whatever. So
we both can be jackasses.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
No, definitely. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Patreon.com/Beer Army. And we hopefully everybody had a safe and happy New Year's yourself.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah,
it's just been a weird 6 months for me, man. But it was good. No, New Year's here, you know, it's a time to start over, clean slate.
I see you have all your little digits and stuff. You didn't blow them up doing fireworks.
No,
didn't
destroy any body parts.
Nothing like that.
Drank a little too much, yeah. But no, I had a good time.
I actually slept right through it. I was so anxious to get 2014 over with and get 2015. I think I was in bed by 10. Yeah.
How about you? Resolutions? Are you a resolution kind of guy?
I'm not. My resolution this year is not to make a resolution. Instead, I'm going with goal setting.
Okay.
Because, you know,
it's more realistic.
Yeah, you do resolutions and then within 2 weeks you screw it and then you're like, oh, shit. I guess I got to wait till next year to do a resolution. Nah, piss on it. My resolution is not do resolutions. I'm setting goals.
I made a resolution to get into more arguments.
Get into more arguments?
Yeah, that's an easy one to keep.
Nice. I'm going to get
No,
into
I'm
more
with arguments. You, man. Just go into a new year, have goals, and make sure you're being aware of where you are at in the process toward achieving those.
Definitely. And one of my goals for this year is to drink more different brands of beer. I think it's a good goal.
You do that anyway.
I know, but I want to up it up.
Up it up?
Up it up.
I want to up it up, man.
I'm here to pump you up.
It up, it up.
Nah, I want to get out there more. Well, if you look at how many, literally, there's like a new brewery opening up in the U.S. every day. I think it's actually more than one a day they're averaging. I think it's 2.1 or some crazy crap like that. So
what's really crazy, and this is interesting you bring this up, because I'm staring at information here that 30 years ago, there were only 97 breweries nationwide.
Right.
Today, there are 3,200.
Yeah. And there's like over 1,000 more in planning.
It's crazy.
Nuts.
And one of those breweries is a delicious has a delicious beer we're sipping on right now.
That's right. We want to give a shout out to Thomas Creek Brewery from Greenville, South Carolina, as we're imbibing on their Deepwater Doppelbach Lager, clocking in at 7% ABV. And you can find them online at thomascreekbeer.com. And I love Doppelbachs. I love.
Never really dove into Doppelbach.
Oh, geez.
I guess I got to up it up.
Well, you know, it's a lager style for one. And for most microbreweries, because time is money. And to produce a lager, it takes more time to brew it. Mm-hmm. Not to brew it, but to ferment it and to lager it. Really, the key word being lagering, which is German word for storage, basically, or store, you know, or cellaring. And that's why they don't do it, because the price point is pretty much this, you know, the consumer is not going to expect to pay more money, you know, for a craft lager than they are for a craft ale, and it takes more time to produce it, and so there it's more costly to make for the brewer or for the brewery, you know, and so that's the reason why you see most microbreweries don't do lagers. So it's really cool when you do see one, and so you know, I've drank lots of Thomas Creek beer. They do a great job. I really like their Irish Red.
Yeah.
I think it's really great. But I was looking back through our notes, and I don't think we did a lager. And I was like, oh, man.
No, we haven't. This is the first one.
We don't want to discriminate. You know, all beers.
We had a lager after one of the shows one time.
Oh, we did. But we never featured one on the show.
No, we never featured one.
So for people that are maybe not familiar with, you know, Doppelbach or whatever, it's a German-style dark lager. This bad boy is pouring black. You can almost get some ruby highlights around the edges, but it's pretty much black in color. It has a tan head, some lace on the glass. I can definitely pick up chocolate, no doubt, right away, along with some definitely a pretty sugary, malty backbone on there. And I'm picking up some dark fruits. I'm picking up more fruits than I thought I would, and that's not bad per se. The flavor is the same with chocolate, some brown sugar in there, because I know how much you like your brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Again, some dark fruits all rolled into this creamy texture and flavor, I guess you would say. I think I'm almost picking up a touch of nuttiness. I'm not sure. Not like a nut brown ale or anything, but it just seems like it's there. And then the carbonation is medium. The mouthfeel is the same. I do think, compared to like import Doppelbachs, this seems a little bit on the light side for me, because usually Doppelbachs are usually like these 300 calorie powerhouses, because that's what the monks would brew and stuff like that for, you know, Lent season and for fasting.
A little forward.
And whenever I think of Doppelbachs, you know, you always see the goat on there, and everything's, you know, Nate Ator on the end, you know, like Ator. and that's how they always end it. And there's always a darn goat on there. But
Schwarzenegger on it.
And it's usually pretty chewy. And this is kind of chewy, but I guess I was expecting a little bit more. But, you know, this is an American version. And that's the beauty.
When you say chewy, what do you mean? Because you've said that a lot.
The viscosity is like, it's like, let me put it this way. If you're to drink 2% or whole milk. Whole milk to me would be chewier than 2%. Does that
just
make sense?
A little thicker, fuller in the mouthfeel.
Yeah, it's like almost like chew, you know, or if you were to go like skim milk to whole milk.
Oh, God.
You know, there's definitely a bigger delta there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I guess I kind of mean by saying chewy. And it's just that's my way to kind of describe it, because you hate to keep saying, oh, it's you know. You don't want to keep trying to use the same vernacular. I know I keep using the word chewy, so I guess
I gotta come up with
a better word. But
I'll call you Chewbacca.
But these guys did win a silver medal at GABF with this beer back in 2008, and it's a year-round offering, so you know, good to go. And you know, in Germany, this is one of their biggest beers, typically with an alcohol content of around 7%, but some Doppelbachs will go up to as high as like 13%, which is that barley wine territory that, you know, we usually associate that ABV level with. And then Doppelbachs emerged in the late 18th century, just to give you a little history, as a powerful lager variant of the old, you know, monastery strong beer And the monks used to call their liquid bread, you know, when they're fasting and stuff like that. For Lent.
It was like a rebel monk came up with the Doppelbach?
Well, the, you know, the interesting...
I don't want to sound like I'm joking. No. Curious.
Like, the way that the... Just like, you know, there's the lore of how did IPA become about, and it was sent all the way around to India. And
yeah,
the
it was long, just a all this shipping other stuff. And keeping and there, it
and
fresh. Yeah.
And that's kind of like traditional story. Well, the story on this is that monks from Italy who migrated up to Germany back in, like, the 14th or 15th century, and, again, for Lent, and they brewed... You know, this beer to get them through Lent because they thought, you know, cleansing the body, liquids and everything else like that. And but then the high alcohol content, so they felt a little guilty. So supposedly they sent some to Rome, to the Pope, you know, to get his ruling because they want him to bless off on it. So they didn't have to feel as guilty, I guess, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Getting hammered.
You know? I sent some to the Pope.
So supposedly the way it goes, or the story is that it has to go over the Alps and everything else like that. And the sloshing and the hot and the cold. And basically, by the time it got to him, to the Pope, it was sour and it was pretty bad. So he tried it. Well, he deemed anything this nasty must be okay. So he blessed off on it. So they're like, hell yeah. So they've been partying their asses off ever since, basically. But this is
awesome.
So it's a little history on the Doppelbach. But,
no one's going to drink this. Okay, do it.
But to give you a little history on Thomas Creek, they opened shop in 1988 by owner and brewmaster Tom Davis, who, like a lot of professional brewers, he got his start with homebrewing. And it really started off as a father-son team. And it's now truly a family affair with Tom's dad, Bill, who was also an architect for over 40 years. And he looks a lot like Santa Claus. I met him years back because he has like this beard and everything like that. And he's the co-owner and the official taster for Thomas Creek Brewery. And then Tom's wife, Terry, she is the operations manager. And then Thomas Creek, the father-son duo, started off leasing brewing equipment under the Thomas Creek name to different brew pubs in the Greenville, South Carolina area. To include a restaurant called Henny's, where Tom was brewing at the time. And then Henny's got out of the brewing, and that is when the duo decided to start brewing under the Thomas Creek name. So that kind of gives you a little background.
That's cool, keeping it in the family.
Yeah, too. And Thomas Creek is one of the oldest South Carolina production breweries there are. They currently have a 30 beer barrel system, and they have both 60 and 10 barrel fermenters. And then in 2013, they broke ground on a 10,000 square foot expansion to include a new tap room and outdoor patio. So I'm really looking forward to getting down there one of these days and checking that out. And when they first started up, there was no homebrew supply store in the area, so many homebrewers would ask Tom if they could buy ingredients, you know, from Thomas Creek, basically. Mm-hmm. And so they currently offer ingredients and homebrewing equipment. That's how much of a staple they are in their communities, and that's pretty cool, I think. And I always get their newsletter. They're always advertising all these cool things like movie nights and cast nights and comedy and all this other things. I really wish I probably lived closer, especially with this new this patio they probably got and everything else. I'm sure it's probably kick ass in the tap room. And then I also know that they're one of the main contract brewers in their region. A lot of people will contract brew, guys that are just getting up and running. So, but Thomas Hell Creek yeah. Brewery out of Greenville, South Carolina. We are drinking the Deep Water Doppelbach Lager. If you don't like Doppelbachs, then definitely try out some of their other offerings because they got some great beer.
Phenomenal. Porters, this is a good step to experience. I honestly think it's not a porter, it's a lager, but it's very... It's dark in color.
Well, it's smoother. It's going to be a smoother finish than a porter.
What I'm saying, yeah, it is. But this would be a great way, and this would be a good one to go to before you dive into porters, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. I think lagers, for people who, like, if you're like a gateway beer, like if you're looking to go from, if you're like a Bud Miller Coors person, jumping over to ale styles is very a big leap. That's the reason why they usually try like cream ales, Kolsch's, stuff like that. But if you want to stay in the lager family, going up the scale, this is a pretty big deviant or, you know, delta from Bud Miller Coors. But yeah, I can definitely say that a smoother finish like this mm-hmm. will help you transition into the ale side, I think, better or easier than just like, oh, hey, just let me strap on a freaking, you know, Russian Imperial Stout
it's
or something.
It's really smooth. This is good.
Yeah.
It's a good beer.
Listen, if you're winning medals at GABF, it's not because you suck, period. So.
No matter what the Pope says.
Exactly, no matter. So check them out at thomascreekbeer.com.
And make sure you stick around here to Beer Army Engage. We have our Heroes Never Die segment about a pilot saving the day.
Saving the day.
And as well, later in the program, Yikem to Sue and some crazy stuff.
Love it.
Coming up, so make sure you stick around.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army engaged.
By the way, you can get your tickets to Jolly Skull Beer Fest online at beerarmy.org. And as well, you might as well get your swag. I remember we did some football and some food out and about last night.
Oh.
And I was wearing my brand new Beer Army hats. Those things are bad.
The baseball cap. Even the waiter's like, where can I get one of those hats? It's like, dude, beerarmy.org or, you know. And for your tickets, go to beerarmy.org/jollyskull. And then, of course, for the online store, just go to beerarmy.org, click store on the top, and it'll take you right to there. You get your own hat. But we got some new swag coming out for the ladies, more specific female cut, like scoop necks, V-necks, stuff that...
Keeping it fashionable.
Well, so they don't have to always wear, you know, the unisex type t-shirts.
They still want to feel like a lady.
Well, because the Beer Army girl, you know, her being a super soldier and all, she's like, damn it, I demand some female cut swag.
She's
like,
still a lady.
She is. She's got to feel like a lady.
Exactly.
So
treat her like a lady.
So, yeah, and get your tickets for Jolly Skull because they are going fast. It's alarming. We're up over 30% at the same point last year. And so
we sold last them. Year was, what, 26% up from the previous year? So, in 2 years.
Yeah, at this time, at this like 3 weeks out from the festival, 56% growth.
That's awesome.
Pretty nuts, so... You know, I know that designated driver tickets sold out last year. We added more designated driver tickets this year, but those things are selling fast, too. I think the VIP will probably sell out before the event, and that will leave GA. And if you're a hardcore beer enthusiast, you definitely want to go to the VIP over the GA.
So, how many breweries this year?
We're going to try to keep it at 60. We've had more than 60 before in the past. I think 60 is a good number. You usually have about 200 beers with that many breweries showing up. So you're not going to be able to try all those beers anyways.
Right.
You can try, if I don't encourage it. So.
Yeah. There's some merit to the effort, I guess. But
yeah, you'll need a hero afterwards, speaking of which.
I need a hero.
That's right.
Speaking of heroes,
yeah.
I'll tell you, in this thing we call life, you never know what's going to happen, and you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory! This week we're going to give a shout out to heroic Virgin Atlantic pilot Captain David Williams, who successfully landed a Las Vegas-bound flight that had faulty landing gear that was flying from England to Sin City.
Wow.
And we do have video of it. We're not going to play the video because there's really nothing to hear, per se. There's a little bit of radio chatter or whatever.
Yeah.
I highly recommend you go check out the link, though, because when you see the plane land, how it didn't collapse, how the gear didn't collapse and do the belly skid, or how the one wing doesn't hit and grind out is beyond me.
What's a balancing act? Because he only had two of four landing gear that are the main support landing gear.
Right, two on the belly and then one on each wing. And then the one on the left wing was kind of half-cocked. And then the one on the right wing didn't come down at all. And when you see the video, he kind of does this little... When he initially hits, it kind of bounces back up. He comes off and then he kind of lands again. And he's kind of coming at yawed at an angle, you know, and just...
Well, you think about turning it all. If he turned it,
oh yeah,
you know, that was that right wing. So if he had all turned it to the left, it would have collapsed on that right wing, due to centrifugal force.
Yeah, just the weight. Yeah, it just
so just balancing act. He achieved that. That's absolutely amazing. That's solely Sullenberger worthy.
Right, yeah, they're calling it one of the greatest emergency landings in history. And I know that we had the one in in the Hudson years back. Yeah. But the difference is that this plane could actually probably be flown again, just fix the landing gear and it can go. It's just amazing because, you know, this is one of those huge jets, you know, the double decker types. You know, he had 462 passengers, one of them being his daughter, 12-year-old daughter.
Wow.
So this guy's under the gun because he's got 462 souls. They're looking up to him to make sure, hey, dude, you got to call the ball and you got to call it right, you know? And so when they took off, of course, fully fueled and everything else. So they're literally doing circles for hours, dumping all the fuel for a lighter plane so he can make a textbook emergency landing at Gatwick Airport.
I take it the landing gear didn't go up after takeoff, right?
That's what I'm. I don't know. It doesn't really say in the article, and doesn't really clarify. Well,
they never left England.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. I'm thinking, for whatever reason, faulty landing gear. If you took off, you know, why would you put it back down and then come back down? Unless there was some other reason. So I'm assuming it didn't go all the way up. What I'm assuming. Which in that case means that the right side did go. Well, it wasn't all the way up though. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't go. So then they deployed their landing gear and then tried to come back. I don't know. All I know is that it's pretty freaking, you know, again, pilot Dave Williams, Captain Dave Williams. While he was the pilot, he was humbly, just real humble and thanking everybody, saying, "Hey, I got my fellow co-pilots, you know, navigate all those guys. I got the guys on the ground, the stewardesses keeping the patrons, the freaking people riding along,
passengers.
Passengers. Thank you, man. I'm having a freaking brain fart of epic proportions. Remember the word passengers? No, the passengers and then of course the passengers themselves not getting nuts or anything like that. Of course, what can you do? Except for practice your, put your hands over your head and
a lot of pucker factors. Put it between your knees,
those things. I don't know if you've ever seen them or if you've seen plane crashes and stuff like that. While they seem pretty solid, at any type of velocity, those things just peel apart. just a carcass of carnage, man. I mean, especially with jet fuel, even though you dumped obviously a lot of it, but yeah, it's, again, look at the video. The video on the, at first take, you're like, oh, what's the big deal? But then look at how it rests and how much the plane is listing on one side and how it's like, holy crap. Everybody's going to be able to walk away because of Captain Dave Williams played it cool. Cool as a cucumber.
I'm blown away by his ability to balance that plane with as much as it was listing and all of that movement. I'm surprised it didn't.
Even Richard Branson texted out giving kudos and stuff to Captain Dave Williams and the rest of the crew. And, because obviously he owns the freaking flight, the airline. And, I think it's just really cool. And then it said all customers are Virgin Atlantic provided passengers with hotel rooms for Monday night. And then the next flights and then new flight. Holy balls.
You're fine. Just breathe. 2014. New goal. Breathing.
2015, new goal. Virgin Atlantic provided passengers with hotel rooms Monday night and then new flights on Tuesday, and all the customers, I'm happy to say, Mick, arrived in Sin City in time to celebrate New Year's Eve. So
nothing better than a bunch of drunk Brits on New Year's Eve in Las Vegas.
It got me thinking, though. I took my two oldest on a plane for the first time last year.
Oh, wow, cool.
Last year is in 2013.
The year before last.
Yeah. And we flew out of Albany and we got delayed. And what it was there was another plane that got out, was taxiing away from the terminal and getting pushed out. And then they disconnect everybody and then they'll fire up their engines. Well, the engines caught on fire.
Oh.
And so now they're in our way. And of course, the jet blast. And so the pilot's like, look, I'm not going to pull away. Of course, they're not going to reopen the doors and let you onboard either because they're manifested. They're ready to go. The thing is, the kids are on the port side. I'm on the starboard side. On the port side, they got a clear view of this thing. And all of a sudden, the fire trucks, and they deployed the freaking ramps, the inflatable ramps. And people are, and they're like, oh, look at that. They're like, do we get to do that or whatever? And I'm like, I hope to God we don't, And Mary, she was kind of worried about taking the kids on the first plane flight. Like, everything will be okay. I'm like, look, I got this. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, that.
After a 3-hour delay on the tarmac, we finally, were able to go. But I got to explain to her. She's like, oh my God. I said, yeah, and the kids are all happy. They're like, wow, that's cool. Look at that. There's like fire trucks
and slides.
It's like, yeah, but it's not supposed to be smoking. The plane is not supposed to be smoking. That's a party foul. Kids are all excited though. Hey, do we get to go down the slide?
Oh, wow. So, I've never really had any crazy things happen on airlines other than we talked about it in a previous podcast, other than sitting next to a porn actress,
the porn, yeah,
getting asked if I was interested in doing porn.
Yeah, I've never been in a crash landing. I've been on like helos that have lost engines and stuff like that, and it got a little hairy and you had to grab your reference point and stuff like that, but never a plane. Thank God.
I jumped out of a lot of planes. I found it more odd in the military to land in a plane because I was so used to jumping out of them. So and actually landing in one was really weird. It felt like something was wrong, because something was wrong. If the jump didn't go, something happened.
And that's the problem with you airborne types, man. That's why you guys are mental. There's no reason why you should jump out of a perfectly good airplane. No reason at all. None.
Well, until you've felt that wind in your face.
Wind in your face. Getting smacked by a tree in the landing, or somebody shooting up at you. You know, it's like, yeah, I got my Kevlar underwear on. It's all good.
Well, you know, we have a term. Us airborne personnel have a term for those of you that don't like what we do.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I think we're crazy for doing it. You're dirty, stinking legs, man. That's right.
Oh, man. Nah, it's... again, back to Captain David Williams. You know, he's a true hero, because even though he made it look easy, it very easily could have been a big fireball of carnage and a lot of dead people.
It takes some serious focus and some serious concentration.
Especially when you don't have all your landing gear like that. And you don't know. I mean, because you don't know. Is that landing gear going to hold? Don't know.
That's the crazy thing, man. And that's the whole point of Heroes Never Die. It's you never know what's going to happen. And you never know who's going to step in to make sure that they try to fix the situation.
Yeah. No, that's pretty awesome. So, and of course, and then having your daughter. Also,
it's not just big motivator for him.
It's not just 460, 62 nameless souls that you don't know. It's 461 plus one, which is your own daughter. But it's pretty awesome. I wish we had video or audio of inside the cockpit or whatever. I guarantee you, it's probably pretty anticlimactic. I'm sure it was. I'm sure they were probably just doing their thing in the zone, going downtown, right?
Yeah,
and they just stuck that landing. So that's awesome, and way to start off a new year, without a tragic story, So.
Well, there are 462 people that should be grateful for him for
definitely
a full year ahead of them.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Dustin. And don't forget, we have our Yikem to Sue coming up. A lot of insanity to get to. There's plenty of weird stuff.
I got guy that didn't even realize he had a knife in his head.
Well, and I've got a story of a company that had a hard time. Well, they've got denied a U.S. trademark because apparently the name of their product is a little too vulgar.
Wow. In the U.S.
In the United States.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Stick around. It's all headed your way here on Beer Army Engaged.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BEERARMY.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Now, Dustin, I do have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
As we're heading into our third segment here.
Go for it.
The time where we really laugh our asses off. But I'm curious, do you have any superhero t-shirts?
I think I had a Captain America shirt once.
Yeah?
Yeah, back in the day.
I need one.
You need one? I know a place that you can get one.
I know. And you have to check it out, because I know a lot of people are taking advantage of the 20% off with the Beer Army code.
Yeah.
At
SuperheroDen.com.
Yeah, Superhero.
Say it with me. SuperheroDen.com. And you use promo code Beer Army, and you get that 20% off.
And there's some cool t-shirts up there, man.
There is.
And a big thanks to them for teaming up with us and offering this awesome opportunity for you. So definitely check that out. You can link right to it from beerarmy.org. And right now, as we're about ready to dive into the insanity of everyday life, as we look at this little blue orb that floats in space, there's so much insanity that goes on. It's hard to even believe it's actually real.
What's real and what's fake, yeah.
Yeah, but it is. And you can't make this stuff up. Let's yick 'em to Sue.
Yeah, Mick, this week we got on the batting cage, or in the batting circle here, we got a guy that had a knife stuck in his head and didn't even know it.
How do you have a knife stuck in your head and not know it?
I don't know, but thanks to CNN, they're going to help explain it here. I got a little tidbit for you.
No, well, thank you, CNN.
Give a listen.
Talk about a miraculous recovery and a headache for the record books. We're about to show you some pictures that may make you a little squeamish. It's going to stun you for sure. Take a look at this x-ray photo. You see that? That is a knife lodged in that man's skull. Don't worry, he's all right. He's expected to make a full recovery, but his story is incredible. Brazilian taxi driver Juscelino Nunes de Oliveira was at a party in a bar last Sunday when he got into a fight. He was stabbed 4 times, obviously once in the head. It took him nearly 3 hours to drive himself to a hospital for treatment. Yep, he actually was able to drive himself to the hospital. The blade just missed his optic nerve and instead passed into his sinus cavity and jaw. 5 days later, he left the hospital alive and healthy.
What the hell's so funny over there, Mick? The poor guy has a knife
things,
in his
there
head.
There were 2 things in that. That I'm sorry. Those Number one, I can't stand cheesy news anchor anecdotes.
What was cheesy?
Yeah, headache for days. Dude, go back to the very beginning of that and this stupid statement. Oh, a story of a headache for days.
Well,
you know,
he's trying to Walter Cronkite, man. Come on,
whatever. He's nowhere near a Walter Cronkite.
Are you drinking? Are you drinking Thomas Creek or some Haterade over there?
I'm drinking Haterade right now. I'm sorry. The other thing I laughed at was that it took him 3 hours to drive himself to the hospital. I'm just imagining this guy partially paralyzed.
Well,
like,
I got
bouncing off of other cars or whatnot.
Well, check this shit out. See, you're kind of moving, making a hand motion, like you're thinking a steering wheel, right? That's what you're thinking, right?
Was he on a moped?
He was a freaking taxi driver. He was a motorcycle taxi driver.
He kept falling down.
I'm sorry, officer. You can't give me a ticket for not wearing my helmet. Give me a break here, man.
I couldn't fit my helmet on with this knife sticking out of my head.
Well, he didn't know he had. He's drunk, so he probably put on his helmet. He probably said, fuck it, because I can't get it on there. Now, I'll tell you what's crazy, though. And ladies and gentlemen, you definitely got to check out this video. They have the image of the x-ray. It just blows my mind how far in advance we have come with medical imaging and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cadaver, you know, or not cadaver, a skeleton. It's just modeled, and then this knife, and it doesn't even look like, holy crap, but it's just amazing what they can do and what they can, you know, the angles they can take.
How big was the, I was probably laughing when they said it. Looks how like long was the blade on the knife?
It looked like a freaking regular, like a butcher's knife, like a freaking 8-inch butcher's knife with a wooden, I mean, that's what it looks like, man. That's what blows me away, you know? And it survived, so he was stabbed 3 times in the body, and one of those times perforated his lung, and then once in the head. And he was partying in a bar in the city of Agua Branca, which is northeastern Brazil, I guess. And he stabbed 3 times, perforating the lung, and then once in the head. And he went to the emergency room, which was over 62 miles away.
Okay, that's why it took 3 hours.
With the knife handle protruding from his head all the while. And it took him nearly 3 hours to arrive there at the hospital, the surgeon hospital director told CNN. And then this guy said that the knife lodged in his head for this whole period, but he was not aware of it. And the doctor's saying, we believe the shock and a bit of the drinking may have helped him not to understand the knife was still in his head. So it's just, oh, man.
I wonder if part of that 3-hour that 3-hour drive to the hospital was people stopping him and wanting to take selfies with him.
Well, they say pictures were released by the military. Why is the military involved in this? But then I forget, okay, you're talking about Brazil. But it does. And even in here, they're saying it looks like a kitchen knife embedded in his skull up to the handle, just to the left side of his eyebrow. And it only stopped because it got stuck in the man's lower jaw. So the tip, when it came through, it got stuck in his lower jaw.
And he had no idea.
Yeah, that's...
He had to have been partially paralyzed by that.
They said that the knife crossed his head just behind the optical nerve, got very close to the olfactory nerve, and was just a fraction from the, help me here, gustatory nerve.
I don't know. It sounds good.
It says he could have been blinded and could have lost his sense of smell and taste, but none of that happened, and he's alive and healthy. So
wow.
Took him 2.5 hours to complete the surgical operation to remove it out of there, so...
Oof.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, yeah. See, that's the advantage of only using 10% of your brain.
God, man. Yeah, just keep that. You might want to wear a helmet when you're down partying in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. Good Lord. Don't go to parties with knives, I guess. I'll tell you what. Speaking of weird parties.
Yeah.
You've heard of a pants party, haven't you?
A pants party?
Well, It's a weird tie-in.
Okay.
It's a bad segue is what that is,
Dustin. I'm sorry. That's okay. We'll give you an alibi.
Reason I reference pants parties is because, well, it seems there's a Norwegian manufacturer of underwear that has been told by the U.S. Patent Offices that their brand name is too vulgar to trademark. So we will not have Comfy Balls underwear in the United States.
We can't have Comfy Balls.
No. Well, apparently, according to the U.S. Patent Office, we can't have Comfy Balls.
Because it's too... just salacious? I mean, it's too...
No, we don't want to be too relaxed in this society. With the times as they are, they're so challenging. We don't want people to get too comfortable with how screwed up things are. So, therefore, we can't have Comfy Balls.
Let's see. We have Fleshlights. We have Sex Wax. We have all these other... I mean, Comfy Balls really goes over the edge.
Yeah, but apparently, the mark does not create a double... this is according to the Norwegian manufacturer. Saying that they do not create a double entendre or either idiomatic expression. When used this way, the word balls... No, I'm screwing this all up. Apparently, the issue the U.S. Patent Office has with this is the word balls in the name.
Is it got... They're using a Z instead of an S?
Balls? No, an S. So they can't get away with that. Well, it's a hybrid spelling, so therefore it's not offensive. But can you believe that?
Yeah, no, I just...
Comfy balls. Look, I would buy underwear called Comfy Balls because how many times have you worn underwear and it's been uncomfortable?
Yeah. I would say, yeah,
definitely. It's marketing genius right there.
If you told me it was like kangaroo skin, you know, safe for your pouch or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, right? Jeez, man. There's an underwear manufacturer I know that's called Aussie Bum from Australia. Does bum, you know?
Well, the kicker here is... The kicker here is that the U.S.
Comfy Huevos? I mean.
Well, the U.S. Patent Office has approved the trademarks Nice Balls and I Love My Balls, but they're not approving this comfy Norwegian balls. company's underwear, Comfy Balls.
Sounds like they need to get with their neighbor over to IKEA and see what they got to do to get stuff approved here in the U.S.
I'll be honest with you, man. Looking at this underwear, it looks like it would be very comfy for the balls.
Yeah.
It does. They're like boxer briefs, but they've got a little more of like a
supporter.
A little bit more of a pouch.
Yeah.
Rather than having it being pushed against your body. A little bit more of a, you know, a nestling hammock for
I'm with you, man.
For your twig and berries.
Yeah, no, it's what you know. No wonder they look at us you know, European countries and stuff and other countries around the world like, what the hell are the Americans doing, man? You know?
Yeah, what are we doing?
You'll prove all this other crap. You got Hustler. You got Larry Flint doing satire of Santa getting a blowjob or something, but you can't.
But we can't have Comfy Balls.
Yeah. Crazy.
I'm sorry, but I think we need to protest.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. If you're anything like the Germans, those guys know how to, well, not protest, but how to party. I mean, they know how to show their enthusiasm. I guess on their sleeve, and what I'm talking about is
sorry, Germans get crazy, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, you know what? Before I even say anything about our next little segment, just give us a listen and tell me what you think this is.
Okay. It sounds like a firefight, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like sounds like somebody's getting some, you know. What it is, the Germans in Berlin ringing in the new year. That is them setting off fire. Like, you know, most municipalities have rules and regulations of where you can set off fireworks or whatever. But imagine Times Square, people 5 feet away, people on balconies in apartment just shooting fireworks, just crazy ass pyrotechnics.
That's just insanity.
Well, you got to look at this freaking video, dude. I mean, one guy gets hit with a rocket, starts on fire, has to take it off, and everybody's like... cheering. So I went ahead and went on YouTube and I Googled Berlin, Germany, New Year's Eve, 2015. There's like a bunch of videos. One guy puts one up where he's just driving through town. His car almost gets hit like a couple of times. People are like on this grass median, just shooting. Dude, it's like, holy, like you better wear iPro downtown Berlin then on New Year's Eve. Cause holy crap. But you know, this is what I think though.
This is insane.
I mean, they ring in the new year, no doubt, but they also got a free, are you waiting for it now? A David Hasselhoff concert. So I don't know if they're celebrating.
Were they celebrating or protesting?
Protesting. Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking, you know. Anyways, it was a minor miracle after looking at this video that the city didn't burn to the ground. I straight up. It's like, holy smokes.
I can't believe that, man. Yeah, I'd be protesting if I had to hear this. One morning in June, some 20 years ago.
I was born a rich man's son.
Kit, rescue me. Okay, enough,
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's looking for freedom. He's are you ready?
My ears are looking for freedom.
Hey, let's go blow some shit up. What do you say? It's getting me kind of mad listening to this.
The guy with the hairy chest on the stage that won't shut up makes me want to shoot some rockets, man. Holy crap. No, you definitely recommend you check out this video, though, because it's like, holy crap, dude. And just to do it with impunity and just like people are driving by, people are walking by. It's like, holy crap, man. Somebody could really get hurt. I'd be surprised if people aren't getting hurt.
So. Well, David Hasselhoff has that effect on people. Just angers them into violence. All right.
Wow. Oh, man.
Well, that's another episode of Beer Army Engaged. Amigo.
Yeah. First one downrange for the year.
Yeah, and by the way, I can't encourage it enough. If you hit up the Patreon link online at beerarmy.org, check it out. A bunch of different levels at which you can contribute and be a super soldier and help us do great things here with the Beer Army Foundation. And check out all the cool swag that's available as well, because there's some really cool incentives for doing so.
Definitely. And as always, we appreciate your support. It's because of you. While, you know, this organization has grown over the years that it has, it's because of you why we are successful and continue to be able to do execute the vision and vision statements of the Beer Army Foundation. And we humbly thank you. We really do, all BS aside. So,
well, I have to as well thank you for taking part and listening, and make sure you check out the back catalog as well. A lot of episodes. We have 18 under our belt right now.
You can binge listen now.
Yeah, you can. You can binge listen. And we will catch you next week here on Beer Army Engaged.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.